while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
It's wonderful to be in the house of God once more. But before I speak to you, let us pray. Lord, we come to you because you are gracious, you are righteous, you're holy, you're loving, you're good. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the earth and all that's in it, the creator of mankind. And Lord, you give us strength for each day. We thank you for your mercies and your grace. And we worship you, Lord, today. Be with us, Lord, as your word go forth. I pray that they will reach the hearts of your people today. That they, Lord Jesus, will go from here knowing that you are with them because your promises are true. You will never leave nor forsake us. And so, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I repeat Jesus' word when he says, he will build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, you know, Satan can have a go. He can do his thing. That's what he's there for. He's there to prove that God, all power is given to Jesus. That's what he told us. And he has the keys of hell and of death. And nothing can overcome him. And so nothing will overcome us. Let us keep the faith and stay faithful to him, always believing what he can do. So today we have the second sermon on the series, Seeking Through the Psalms. You know, there's so many things. The Psalms is, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that it's placed in the center of the Bible. You know, I think it's there as the go-to book because we can seek him through his words that he gave to his servants, David, Solomon, others, that we can use it to benefit us and to help us to live our lives through him. So the general introduction for this series reads as follows. I did have something to put out, but you know, we're not there. Anyway, I'll read it to you. So the general introduction to the series read as follows. The songs and poems in the book of Psalms are regarded to be amongst the oldest writings in the Bible. Yet, when we seek God more earnestly through these ancient texts, we will begin to see him more evidently in our current context. And that's what I'd like to talk about today as I go through Psalm 19 with you, our current context. Where are we now? And what are we to do with where we are? So in last week's sermon, Pastor Deji introduced the series to us and told us about, you know, the authors that wrote the Psalms, David, Solomon, Moses, for example. And I will say that the psalm can be regarded as a gift of a volume of 5 books. This is an eternal gift. It's a gift of all time, for all times. And if you take up your Bible, you can see the divisions. It's 5 books. And these books, they are there to lead us, to help us to see God as he is and as he will be. And as we go through the psalm, we can also see that there are linkages in the psalm. I mean, you know, it's linked to other scriptures in the Bible, but also the psalm themselves are linked together. Because, you know, in them, we see that, you know, God himself will speak to us through them and in them. Last week, we hear about one of this particular link that Pastor Deji talked about. And he said the psalm was God's original promise, or consists of God's original promise to rid the world of evil through a savior, a messiah, a king, a fortress of refuge for the people of the world. So we have today Psalm 19. But I want to read from the Message. So please pick up your Bibles and follow me in this, the Message. I'm just going to call out the verses that I'm reading for, because I know that you have the NIV in the congregation. So Pauline just read us from the NIV, and I'm just going to read from the Message. You know, the psalm themselves, their poetry, their prayers, their songs. And I think the Message capture this by looking at the poetic part of the psalm, Psalm 19. We know that it's written by David, and we know that David, he was a musician, so I can imagine, or I can just see him putting these words to song. He was also a poet, as he wrote in many of the Psalms. So, verses 1 to 2, reading from the Message, it says, God's glory is in tour in the skies, Godcraft on exhibition across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Knight lectures each evening. Their words aren't heard. Their voices aren't recorded. But their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. Verses 4 to 5. God makes a huge dome for the sun. A superdome. The morning suns, like a new husband leaping from his honeymoon bed. The day-breaking sun is like an athlete racing to the tape. Verse 6. This is how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset. Melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. Verses 7 to 9. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eye. God's reputation is 24 karat gold, with a lifetime guarantee. This is the decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree. God's word is better than diamond, better than diamond set between emeralds. You like it better than strawberries in spring, better than red ripe strawberries. There is more. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how will we find our way or know when we play the fool? Clean the slate, God. This is verse 11 to 14. Clean the slate, God, so we can start the day afresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sun-washed, scrubbed clean of the grime of sin. These are the words of my mouth. These are what I can chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar. O God, my altar rock, God, priest of my altar. Amen. David could have started this psalm with, these are words of my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning star. O God, my altar rock, God, priest of my altar. He could start it with that. But you know, I can imagine David rising in the morning for his morning devotion, looking out on the horizon. And there he saw the wonders of God. He saw the beauty of creation. And he looked around. He looked around the vaulted sky. And there he saw. And then he wrote, the heavens declares the glory of God. He saw God's glory. He praises God for his glory, the Almighty God, for what he has done. And so it's a prayer. It's a poem. It's a song. He opened with reverence as a prayer. This also is a prayer of grace. He acknowledges God's creation. And funnily enough, the book of Psalm in Hebrew means book of praise. It is not surprising then that David lifted up this prayer in praise to God in the wonder of his creation. He recognized in verse 1 that all of creation, all of nature is the expression of God's glory. And we find the links to all the psalms in the Bible. Most of them are lifting up glory and praise to God. We find praise and praise for God's law, instruction to his people, such as can be found in Psalm 1, verse 1 to 2. Blessed are the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seats of the mockers. Verse 2, but his delight is in the laws of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And so that links to verse 1 in Psalm 19, where David declares the glory of God that is proclaimed in his handiworks in the skies. Psalm 40 also talked about the laws of the Lord. In verse 8 it says, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is written in my heart. Psalm 97 verse 1 said, the Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. Psalm 119 begins with, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the laws of the Lord. And verse 176 say, I have strayed like a sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands or your laws. So here we see that David appreciates in the psalm the laws of the Lord. We find that they're great truths. They're great. The psalm shows commitment and dedication to God's law. And we sang Psalm 23 just now. Verse 6 said, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a commitment that is we can find. Psalm 25, verse 1 said, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. And Psalm 27, for many of us, the favorite psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold or the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? verse 13, I am still confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord whilst I am alive. The psalm also gives us words of reconciliation during our time of error and strain sometimes, which we, you know, as Pauline was saying, sometimes we feel a little bit out of skilt. You know, we feel that we're not as close as we would like to be with God. When we want to rebuild that relationship with God, Psalm 6 says, verse 1-3, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Verse 2 says, be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. Verse 3, my soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? This is crying out to God. These are the psalms for us. We can cry out from them. The psalm is also consists of words of inspiration, praise, of faith in God, and gratitude for his unending love. So in Psalm 19, David's prayer of grace, when he says, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. He offered up praise, acknowledgement, first by declaring that all of creation expresses God's glory. All of nature declares this. In the heavens, the glory of God, and the sky proclaiming his handiwork. He declared that all of creation expresses his glory. All of nature declares this. Faith, gratitude, unending love for us. And I like, you know, last week when Pastor Deji says, all that is in the psalm was leading towards the coming of the Son of Man who would come and die for us on the cross of Calvary. All of this is in his creation. It's there. Because he wants to speak to us of his glory, of worship, of adoration, lifting him up. And we heard Genesis 1, how God created the heavens and the earth. He creates all things for his glory, for us as man, so that we can glorify him, we can praise him, we can find praise in his word. But also in David's prayer, he talks about God does not just make the things that are visible, but his glory can also be found in the things that are also invisible. James 5:28 says, Elijah prayed and the heaven gave rain. We can't see how the clouds gather the mist. All we know is that when enough mist is gathered, rain, it rains on the earth. These are things that we cannot see. So God are in the things that we cannot see as well as the things that we can see. So in our current context, in our experience, our encounter with God and life's journey, we have to find the praise and the glory in God's creation. We cannot find our purpose until we actually realize that God created these things so that we would glorify him. So that we would see his glory. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, Paul writes, so whether you eat or drink, or whether you do, do it all to the glory of God. We could safely say that we are here to live and to tell the story of the glory of God. Not only knowing about God spiritually or in spiritual matters, but tell of his glory through nature. When we walk, when we take a walk, a nature walk, we can appreciate the goodness of God. When we see the trees and the flowers, the trees are giving us oxygen. We can't see it. Those are some of the unseen things that we can't see that God made and gave to us. So, our context today, where we are today, where we find ourselves today, is linked to our future. The theme in song is the glory of God displayed through the world he created. The world he spoke into being, all through what I said before, natural revelation, through our environment, through the things that we see about him, about us. And I mentioned earlier, the psalm are go-to chapters. It's there for every experience we have. In our current context, we're talking about the present, the most recent, what's in progress, what's up to date, our positions, our experiences, all factors that relate to where we are now, such as events and occurrences in our environment, such as the challenges that we are going to face. You can find a psalm for every situation. I mean, those of us who are of more mature age know that, you know, we can use the psalm for everything. Sometimes you cannot pray, you can find a psalm that will help you to speak to God. You can speak to him through those psalms. But what about today? What about the challenges that we are facing? And the most recent, of course, is the pandemic. How it altered our lives, impacted us negatively. The loss of loved one, and some people, the loss of their job, the restrictions, social distancing, lockdown, impacting our mental state and our health. Not being able to breathe God's fresh air because we are inside. That's another thing he's given to us, which we cannot see, but it's given to us. However, we have to find a positive in this. And some of the things that came out from the pandemic is a respect for life, the love of one another, caring for one another, how to cope, how to help family and friends to cope in their loss. And we have the Psalms there to help us to reflect on our lives, how we see where we are heading in relationships with God, in times of talking with him, at times when we feel we can't talk, we can go to the psalm. We've got the words in the psalm that can pull us closer to God, draw us closer to him. In times when we feel that we're lacking in confidence, when we feel all our hopes are turned to disappointment, times when we feel a sense of emptiness, inadequate, unworthy of God's love and human love, in times when we feel we are totally messed up, everything, in times when we need to feel closeness in the presence of God every day, when we want to build that special relationship, in times when we want to recognize, to feel the sense of deep confidence and trust, in times when we want to feel elevated, the lifting up of our souls, transformation, we can find them in the Psalms. In times of community, times of communion, communication, prayer, praise, and worship, we can go to the Psalms. Times when we want God to be in us and with us so we can give selfless service. Times when we want to feel sure that the rewards, our rewards, are not here, not now, but when we are with him forever and he will reward us for what we do. This is when we reach out to the psalm, those go-to gifts that God has given to us through his servants. And there in the psalm, for every circumstances, every mood, every failure, every aspect of our lives And only you can choose a psalm to suit your circumstances. I can't do that for you. Because in digging in, it will reveal the word of God to you for whatever you need, whenever you need it. So the psalm speaks to your soul, your heart, your current context in a way that no one else and nothing else can do. Broken down in two halves, this Psalm 19. The first, God's creation. The second half deals with God's words. However, it's about God revealing himself to man. It speaks to God, to a God of glory, to the power of God's law, and our response to God. In conclusion, a commentary by someone called David Guzik says, the psalm has run a glorious course. This psalm, it begins with recognizing the glory of God, then the glory of his written revelation. Next to God, the great God, are his great works. David knew himself to be small and sinful, not unlike we are in the presence of God. He has forgiven us our sin, and we can go to him anytime. Yet this great God will also be David's strength and ours. He is our rock. He is our firm foundation. He is our Redeemer. As David looked to God himself and putting his trust in him, the glorious God of creation and revelation was also the glorious God of personal relationship, redemption of his people. And King David knew this, and so should we.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.